Good morning, and welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church. I'm Diane Lukovich, and I welcome those that are worshiping with us here, as well as those that are worshiping with us online. We pray you will experience the presence of the coming Lord Jesus here today and throughout this Advent season. We have a couple of announcements. The first, and of course most exciting, tonight, December 1st at 5 p.m., is the community Christmas tree lighting. Join us for a celebration of the Christmas season, including music from a jazz trio, carol sing-along, and donuts and hot chocolate. So we hope you invite your friends and family and neighbors. Mark your calendars. December the 8th, directly following worship, for a called congregational meeting to elect our next class of elders and deacons. So you'll be surprised. Wait till next week to find out who's going to be serving again. Okay, next, don't forget to pick up your Advent devotional from the vestibule or the table in the hallway. Today, the first Sunday of Advent.
I also bring to you a special call for help. The chaplains at MCV, where somebody we all know works, have asked for our help. They need prayer shawls, knitted, crocheted prayer shawls. They give these out to patients and to their families in times of need and times where there's need for comfort and warmth. And at this point, they are at zero. They have zero prayer shawls. So if any of you knit or crochet or know anybody who does and who'd be willing to donate some prayer shawls, we'll be collecting them over the next days and weeks. If you have any questions, you can see Addison, and she'll answer all of them. They don't need to be big. They can be just sort of lap-size shawls. but they would be of great help in creating a sense of comfort and need for those who are in hospital. So I'd ask that you would think on that and that call from our community. I also want to bring to your attention in the bulletin, our call to worship is a little different than normal. There are two parts to this. There is a sung part at the beginning, which is indicated by the cantor line, and then the spoken part, which is regular leader people. So when the choir is leading the cantor part, they will sing that first line, which is of a familiar hymn, and then we will respond with the line in bold. So when that time comes, please be aware of that. And we'll go through that twice the first time around. Also today, we are celebrating the Lord's Supper. It's Christ who invites us to this table, and it's he who sets the standard. All of those who have been baptized in the name of the triune God are welcome to eat of this meal. It's also the practice of this congregation that once the elements are distributed, then we will all take them at once. So you'll know the time at that point. Are there any other announcements for the good of the body? Let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you.
Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
We light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Come, Lord Jesus, our light and our salvation. Let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Thank you.
Lord, who has gathered us to worship, now greets you with these words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. Through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And now our call to confession. We have all sinned. Not one of us is clean, but there is mercy for those who call on the name of the Lord. Trusting God's grace in Jesus Christ, let us confess our sin. O God, for whom we wait, we confess that we do not know how to prepare for your advent. We have forgotten how to hope in miracles. We have ignored the promise of your kingdom. We get distracted by the busyness of this season. Forgive us, O God. Grant us the simple wonder of the shepherds, the intelligent courage of the Magi, and the patient faith of Mary and Joseph, that we may journey with them to Bethlehem and find the good news of the child born for us.
As sure as the fig tree blossoms, so sure is the salvation of our God poured out on us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. Listen now to God's word. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that the day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
To us, all promised one, fill our emptiness with love.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter. Listen now to God's word. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place that is waste, without humans or animals, and in all its towns there shall again be pasture for shepherds resting their flocks. In the towns of the hill country, of the Shephelah, and of the Negeb, in the land of Benjamin, the places around Jerusalem, and in the towns of Judah, flocks shall again pass under the hands of the one who counts them, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, and the Levitical priests shall never lack a man in my presence to offer burnt offerings, to make grain offerings, and to make sacrifices for all time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of hope, who never lets us go, draw near to us in these ancient words. By your Holy Spirit, may we be filled, lifted up, and leveled as you prepare in our hearts the path of your coming. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The prophet says, the Lord will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he will execute justice and righteousness in the land. Well, it's finally here. The Christmas season is upon us. Not even 3 days after Thanksgiving, and the wreaths are up, the radio tunes have changed, and TV advertisements are all Christmas specials. Now, if you've been paying any attention, maybe while you've been shopping, Target or Walmart, they would have you believe that Christmas began the moment Halloween ended. Decorations are up for sale. The gifts are ready to be bought. That picturesque holiday is just around the corner. Trees and lights and Christmas cookies. In our nation, this season is characterized by abundance. More gifts. Plenty of food, copious amounts of sweets. As we sit in the milieu of our culture's understanding of what Christmas is, it may then be hard for us to enter in to the words that the prophet gives to us this day. We may find it hard to enter the scene that he places before us. A place that can only be described as waste, where no person or animal dare to reside. Only destroyed cities and towns, the desolation of a land and of a people. Our culture begins a time of festivities and consumerism, but the prophet speaks here only of the barren, of the wasteland. You see, the kings of Israel and Judah had failed to govern as upright rulers. They exploited the poor and lived in unfaithfulness towards God's covenant. They lived in idolatry and unrighteousness. and the people followed suit. So the Lord sent them into exile, punished by the hands of the Babylonians. Now, as the Babylonians took the land and the people, they left in their wake only destruction, razing towns and cities to the ground, trampling the spirit and the dignity of the people. The Hebrews were left without hope, many of them taken to a foreign land, their lives now characterized as a place that is waste. Now, this may seem like a distant past to us, separated from us by a millennia or more. However, the wasteland is not unknown in our own day. Not even a world away, men and women and children in Ukraine, in Israel, Palestine, in Lebanon, they stand in the decimated cities and towns, their homes wiped off the map because of violence and warfare. It may be closer to home, whole communities decimated, families torn asunder because of addiction, of overdoses, all coming from the opioid epidemic, tearing our society apart. Or maybe even closer to home, our own brokenness, our frail bodies, disease, loneliness, estranged relationships, grief, our shame, our guilt, our sin, all that brings desolation to our own lives, that makes our living a place that is waste. Now, all of this may kill our Christmas spirit. It seems as if there is no hope for us, that there is no future for us here. But into this barren silence, the prophet speaks a word of hope. There will be a new tomorrow. For Israel and Judah, Jeremiah spoke of a new day when the place of waste would again become a land of plenty, where the barren earth would again be made rich pasture, where shepherds would tend their sheep. The cities would be built up again, inhabited by the people who were once scattered. Life would return to the place which once was made lifeless. But this would not simply be a restoration, a return to the way it used to be. No, the prophet's words speak of a more radical future. A future where all things are literally made new, where everlasting justice and righteousness will reign in the land, when God's people will be saved and live their whole lives in safety. A future brought about by God's chosen one, the righteous branch sprung up for David. Our reading this morning is the second time that Jeremiah has spoken of the righteous branch. Just 10 chapters ago in 23, we see the righteous branch set as a ruler over the people, dealing wisely and executing God's order and purpose in the land. He is the ideal king of David's line. He would restore the people and the land, remaking them into God's vessels for his reign on earth. And the name by which he would be called is the Lord is our righteousness. And so the hope for the people in exile into whom the prophet Jeremiah is speaking, their hope was not simply in a return to the land, a return to the way it used to be, because we see that through rose-colored lenses, don't we? It wasn't a return to the land, but a person, a king who would raise up the people once again. Where the kings of old had failed to live in justice and righteousness, this righteous branch will come and bring about true and everlasting order and God's purpose on earth, justice, righteousness. All violence and warfare he will end. All exploitation and unfaithfulness he will drive out. The people would be restored, the land made new. And there would be such a renewal of the cities and the people that they would take on themselves the very name of the one who claimed them. They would be called, "The Lord is our righteousness." This was the hope for which the exiles waited. And even as they had to return to the land, they still had to wait for that promised one and the remaking of all things. They still had to wait. But in the fullness of time, that righteous branch would come. He would be an infant laid in a manger. The child born of Mary, of the line of David, the one who would grow to be the man, Jesus. This man would be the one to fulfill the prophet's words, to be the righteous king who would reign, bringing justice and righteousness to the land, putting aside all the powers of the world and building up God's kingdom to come. Jesus is that righteous branch. But now we may ask ourselves, if this is true, if he is the righteous branch of which the prophet foretold, why does it seem that nothing has changed? Why do we still live in a world of violence and warfare, of injustice and unrighteousness? We may wish for Jesus to be the conquering monarch who comes to vanquish evil and to raise up the people. The disciples thought so too. They wanted him to come on a white stallion to ride through the countryside. So they were often confused when instead Jesus said, "I must suffer. And I must die before any of this will take place." You see, to bring the renewal of all things, Christ first had to bear all that brings desolation in our lives. To execute justice and righteousness over the earth, he had to bear in himself unrighteousness and suffer injustice. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus bore our very barrenness. He experienced the fullness of our wasteland. And he did so that all these powers of death and sin would be defeated, and that life could be restored. Instead of coming as the conquering ruler, Jesus came as the king who laid down his life for his people. And as he rose victorious on that third day, the very promise of God broke into our time and space. The reign of the righteous branch had come. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, we now have hope for a new tomorrow. That death and violence and injustice and brokenness and sin and shame and frail bodies and loneliness, all of it stands defeated. They will never have the final word. Christ reigns from God's right hand and is bringing about his righteous rule on earth. Renewal is here. Restoration is coming. Christ, the righteous branch, is our hope in an oftentimes hopeless world. Yet even as we hope, we know and experience that our hope has not yet come in full. It is yet to be fulfilled. We live now, as it were, in a between time. The one for whom the exiles waited has come, and the same one is to come again to bring God's reign in full. We live in the middle. We have hope, and we have a hope that is still to be fulfilled. So much like the exiles, we wait. We wait for that day when the prophet's words will come in full, when justice and righteousness will fill our land, our communities, our hearts, when Christ shall come again. This is why in the Christian church, we're not in Christmas yet. Where the world is already at Christmas time celebrating the baby Jesus, we stand now in Advent, in the waiting moments, a recognition that the world is not all that it should be, that even as we celebrate, we look to a better day when Christ shall come again in final victory and all will be made well. We wait, not as those who merely bide their time, sitting there and twiddling our thumbs, waiting Christ's coming. No, biblical waiting means living in expectation, in active anticipation of God's desired end. Claimed by the righteous branch, we look forward and we point others to that future. We live as witnesses to that end. We work for righteousness and justice now, as we know he is bringing his just and righteous rule to bear. We witness to God's renewal of all things in a world that is so often a place of waste, and to people who often find their lives a wasteland. So as we begin this Advent season, God is inviting us to take a step back from jumping into Christmas festivities and to wait. To wait with eager anticipation to the day of his promised coming. We have the hope of Jesus already in our midst. We don't wait like the exiles for something we do not know. We know the one who is coming to make all things new because he has already claimed us and is knitting us into his reign to come. God calls us as witnesses to this future, to live in active anticipation, knowing that he will come again. So may you wait for the Lord. Wait for that righteous branch, the one who came and bore our desolation on himself, the one who will come again to establish justice and righteousness in our world, in our community, in our very hearts. Glory be to his name. Amen. invite you to stand. Having been nourished by God's word and preparing our hearts to come to the Lord's table, let us give of our life and labors to God and to the work of his church.
Thank you.
us pray. Our gracious Father, you pour out your gifts upon us in abundance, and yet we remember that there is a world outside of here that lives in waste. So we pray, O God, that you would sanctify these, our gifts, an offering of ourselves to the work of your church, to the proclamation of your gospel, as we await that day when the righteous branch will come in glory and make all things new. All this we ask and pray to the glory of your name. Amen. We come now to the table of grace. God meets us in the sacraments, holy acts in which his deeds elicit our response. In this supper, our Lord offers bread and cup to believers to guarantee their share in his death and in his resurrection, and to unite us to him and to one another. We take this food gladly, announcing as we eat that Jesus is our very life, and that he shall come again to call us to the supper of the Lamb. So come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have a little more, you who have been to this sacrament often, and you who have not been for a long time, you who have tried to follow Jesus, and you who have failed, come. Christ invites you to meet him here. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. You formed us in your image and set us in the world to love and serve you. When we were captives to slavery, you delivered us to freedom and made covenant to be our sovereign God. When we were stubborn and stiff-necked, you spoke to us through prophets who looked for that day when justice shall triumph and peace shall reign over all the earth. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son. You sent him into the world to bring freedom to the captives of sin and to establish justice for the oppressed. He came among us as one of us, taking the lot of the poor, sharing human suffering, dying an unjust death. We rejoice that in his dying and rising again, you set before us the sure promise of new life, the certain hope of a heavenly home where we will sit at table with Christ, our host. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this cup and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we wait for the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Gracious God, pour out your Spirit upon us, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in your world. God of presence and peace, strengthen your church around the globe to proclaim the message of your love coming into our time and space.
open our hearts to recognize your face in everyone we meet. God of equity and compassion, bring righteousness and goodness to all peoples on the earth. Give a heart of discernment and integrity to leaders in this community, in this state, and in this nation. God of comfort and care, be present with those who watch and wait. Come to all who await births, deaths, divorces, new unions, new jobs, retirements, healing, and life transitions of every kind. God of companionship and community, we give you thanks for the saints who have journeyed with us and who now abide in you. Even in distress and uncertainty, make us confident that your promises endure forever. Strengthen us, O God, in the power of your Spirit to bring good news to the poor and loose the chains that bind. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, when we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat of it, do it in remembrance of me." And in a similar way, after the supper had ended, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink. This is my blood, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me." And so it is, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim our Lord crucified and risen until he comes again in glory. These are the gifts of God, and they are for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Take, eat. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink. Let us pray. God, our provision, we rejoice that you satisfy our needs. By your presence in this meal, you have fed us and strengthened us as a mother nourishes her baby. In this waiting season, fill us with hopeful expectation that we may see the signs of your kingdom all around us and rejoice in your coming salvation and glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
From this place in the sure and certain hope that there will be a new tomorrow, that the righteous branch who came to take our waste will come again to bring us life. And so in the meantime, let us wait with eager anticipation, living in justice and righteousness all our days. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day and always. Amen.